it's really interesting. I've coached some people who have compulsive spending habits. And what's interesting is some of the time there's a very direct link between previous addictions and compulsive spending problems. And then I always think, you know what, this is something that you need to address with like a trained mental health professional. This is not a budgeting problem or a math problem. Like there's something else inside that's making you reach for that credit card.
Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspire Budget Podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. I am excited to introduce you to my friend, Zena Kumak. Zena is a freelance personal finance writer and speaker with expertise in student loans, credit, and credit cards. She has shared her expertise on popular platforms like Investopedia, TurboTax, and US News. Today, Zena is sharing her impressive journey of paying off her student loans in just 3 years on a $28,000 salary. We are diving into the strategies, mindset shifts that made it happen, and the importance of having a clear motivation. And for anyone that is ready to take action, Zena will be providing you with some practical steps to kickstart your debt repayment journey. Let's get started. Zena, welcome to the Inspire Budget Podcast. I'm happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Allison. Excited to be here.
Yes. So your journey to paying off student loans in just 3 years is so impressive. Can you share just a little bit about how you did that, a couple of strategies, and maybe some mindset shifts along the way? And then, of course, how much debt you had?
Yeah. So I graduated with about $24,000 in student loans, and I paid it off in 3 years. And what I always tell people is I wasn't really making that much. I was a journalist, like making almost no money. My first salary was $28,000. And I was living by myself, and I had never really been completely responsible for my own finances before. Like my parents were very generous in paying for like my rent and groceries and stuff in college. So when I graduated, it was a real kick in the pants of, all right, you want to buy like a new dress, like you want to pay for an oil change for your car, like you got to figure out a way to pay for it. The biggest thing I realized was budgeting was so important. I had kind of started budgeting in college, but it was sort of a half-hearted attempt of like, yeah, I'm going to track my expenses, and then being surprised when I went over budget, and then just kind of not paying attention to it for a while. So it was like a start and stop process. But when I decided to get serious about my debt, I realized, okay, I have very little money coming in. And I have rent and gas and my student loans, and I had no savings. Like I had no emergency fund. So I was trying to save for that as well. So it really felt like, okay, I have to budget because I could spend my money and then some very easily. So I started tracking like every single dollar. I mean, I was probably really neurotic about it because I remember literally worrying like, oh, I'm going to go buy like a dollar at the coffee machine downstairs. Like, is that the best way to spend my money? But what really changed things for me as far as the debt payoff was I figured I could reasonably send 10 extra dollars a month toward my student loans. Like I could do that every month consistently. So I called the loan servicer and I said, okay, well, what is that going to accomplish? Like 10 bucks, like what's 10 bucks going to do? And she told me, actually, if you put 10 extra dollars toward your student loans every month, you'll pay off your loans in 9 years instead of 10. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, a year without student loan payments, that's huge. Like that's right. I think at the time my payments were $350 a month. And that's a lot of money when you're 22 and making $28,000 a year. That's a lot of money nowadays. That was the biggest mindset shift because I realized, okay, 10 extra bucks, like I might not really miss that, but what else could I do? Like how else can I make changes in my spending or my tracking and really find more money to just throw at my loans?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I love that. And it's very interesting how you said you became neurotic about tracking your spending because, Zena, I was the same way. And it's very interesting because – and you can tell me if you've experienced this as well. I found that as income increases, I'm not as neurotic about it because mm-hmm. I know things are going to be okay. But when you're making very little money and every little expense counts, it's almost like you become hyper-focused on that. And I want to know from your perspective, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Everything has its benefits and its drawbacks. Like, in a way, it made me really aware of how much I was spending. Like, it really made me aware of, like, the little things that we don't think about, like getting McDonald's one day instead of bringing your lunch from home, which seems like, okay, well, how much can you spend at McDonald's? But again, when you're not making very much and you've got all these big expenses, like doing that a few times a week can really add up. Mm-hmm. So in a way, it was good because it helped me see like, okay, you're spending money here and you're spending money there. And like all these things that really aren't serving you and helping you achieve your bigger goal. In another way, I think it held me back a little bit because I wouldn't spend money on things that really mattered in terms of like maybe getting a gym membership that would have helped my mental health. Things like that that I wish like, okay, I should have ponied up for that because I was like living in a new town where I didn't know anyone. And I think having like that outlet would have made me happier. So I always tell people like, at some point, there's like a balance between reaching your financial goal, but then also realizing like you're still around in the day to day and you still have to figure out like, okay, it's worth spending $40 at the Y to have a place to go and like feel better. So it took me a while to honestly like stop thinking that way and stop worrying about like every extra dollar. And I feel like I was making myself maybe less happy than I could have been otherwise. Like, I think anytime you have these like really dramatic debt payoff stories, there's maybe some things that maybe that's not true for everyone. I think, but for a lot of people, there's always a few things that are like, okay, I wish I would have spent money on that because it would have made me feel better in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's a couple extra months of being in debt? Whenever you're looking at it, I think it's interesting also to look at it as a percentage because you were making $28,000. How do you know how much, or do you remember how much you were bringing home monthly?
I think my take home was $1,750.
So $1,750, let's say that you end up spending $20 a week on takeout. That comes out to 1%. 1.1% of your take-home pay, which is a lot different if you're spending $20 a week on takeout and your take-home pay is $6,000 or $4,000.
Yeah.
So I think also thinking about it in percentages can help you see like, okay, this is maybe why that hurts so much more because of that lower income. But I want to know, how long did it take you? Did it take you the full 9 years to pay it off, or did you pay it off your student loan sooner?
Yeah. So then once I got that 10 extra dollars, I thought, okay, well, what else, like, how can I speed this up? Like it really became a game for me. And I should add, like, I'm not sure I'd give the same advice to like, if I could go back in time, like I really didn't invest during this time that I was paying off my debt. That would have been a really smart move to do. So I don't want to say like paying off my student loans was definitely the best financial decision. It was kind of just something I really wanted to do emotionally. But no, it took me from my first payment, it took me 3 years to pay off those student loans.
That's amazing. And I love how you're putting out there, look, if I could go back, I would do things differently. I was actually just having a conversation with one of my inner circle members, and she was saying how she looks back at her past money choices and her credit card debt and everything, and she's so hard on herself. And how do you go about doing that now when you're looking back and saying, oh my gosh, I wish I would have gotten that gym membership, taking care of my mental health, even if that came at like a literally a cost of money, or invested for my future? How do you find peace, or how did you find peace? Because I think there's a lot of people that feel this way and they ruminate on what they could have done differently, which also isn't a healthy thing to do.
No. Yeah. I think it's kind of just accepting like this is the mindset I had back then, and maybe it wasn't the healthiest in some ways. Yeah, like I wish I had gotten the gym membership, maybe traveled a little bit more, maybe been going to therapy during that time, because that was another thing I gave up while I was trying to be debt free. And it's kind of like, okay, you know what? I've learned a lot from that. And in some ways, I have to say, like, me paying off my student loans is really what helped me become a freelance personal finance writer, because I met editors and I had this really compelling story. And a lot of, like, my first articles were about my personal debt journey. So in some ways, like, if I hadn't achieved something so substantial, like, I'm sure I would have still been able to break out in this field, but it was pretty quick from the time that I started trying to do it to when I actually achieved it. So it's like, we never really know. Like, we don't have a Marvel multiverse to tell us, like, yes, objectively, your life would be better if you had done XYZ. And I think it's really hard to accept, like, oh, crap, maybe I made, like, the wrong decision. But I think maybe if you just kind of learn, like, okay, from this point on, I'm always going to prioritize, like, my mental health or my physical health, or I'm always going to think about travel maybe before, like, another financial decision, or balancing that better. And I think it's kind of helped me loosen up a little bit. Like, I was raised on the cult of Dave Ramsey and, like, all debt is bad and you should do XYZ. And it's really maybe, like, loosen up some of those money rules that I had grown up with and internalized, and made me realize, like, well, I need to figure out, like, what works for me and my life, and not necessarily, like, what someone else is saying I should do.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Today's episode is brought to you by my Goodbye Debt Tracker. The Goodbye Debt Tracker is a tool I've designed to help you pay off debt fast. And the best part? It's completely free for you. Yes, you heard that right. You can go to inspiredbudget.com/goodbye debt. That's all one word. inspiredbudget.com/goodbye debt to get your free download. Let's be real here. Paying off debt is a must for anyone who wants to live a life free of financial stress. Paying off debt isn't about scrimping and saving every single penny, and it's not solely about boosting your income. Paying off debt boils down to having a plan for your money, a plan that empowers you to spend intentionally while still tackling debt head on, a plan that's realistic, allowing for treats like a relaxing pedicure or massage when you need it the most. The journey to becoming debt-free starts with a strategy, and my Goodbye Debt Tracker will help you find the strategy that suits you best. This isn't just another spreadsheet. It's a carefully crafted tool designed to provide you with the clarity, strategy, and motivation to eliminate your debt. So whether you're tracking credit card debt, student loans, or any other financial obligations, the Goodbye Debt Tracker is here to guide you every step of the way. So if you're ready to say goodbye to debt and hello to financial peace of mind, it's time to get your hands on the Goodbye Debt Tracker. Let's find the strategy that suits you best and kick debt to the curb for good. You can go to inspiredbudget.com/goodbye debt to get your tracker for free, or just click the link in the show notes. I don't know if you know, but there was a New York Times article, and I'll link to it in the show notes, about how Gen Z, like the younger generations, are rejecting Dave Ramsey's advice.
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it leads with shame and guilt and just negativity. And it is so – it's almost like what you said. Like, you were spending every single penny working towards debt. You didn't enjoy your life. You didn't invest in the things outside of your financial goals that would make you happy. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that, just as a personal finance freelancer, you're writing articles, have you seen there be a shift in terms of, as Gen Z is coming up and they're facing student loan payments and, oh my goodness, the rising cost of housing and feeling stuck? Are you seeing that there's just a little bit more empathy when it comes to them and that they're rejecting
that? For sure.
You do?
I think there's just – there's more creators nowadays who are talking about, hey, this isn't the best way to – teach people. This isn't the best way to get people to change. My husband is a mental health therapist. And when he was going to grad school, it was always like he was always saying like, yeah, it turns out that shaming someone does not make them change their behavior. Even if they want to change their behavior, making them feel bad about it is not the way to go. Mm-hmm. Like the way to go is to help them see like, well, why do you want to change that behavior? Like, what are the compelling reasons for you personally? And maybe what's getting in the way? And maybe there's some reasons there that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Like, I have helped people. It's really interesting. I've coached some people who have compulsive spending habits. And what's interesting is some of the time there's a very direct link between previous addictions and compulsive spending problems. And then I always think, you know what, this is something that you need to address with like a trained mental health professional. Mm-hmm. This is not a budgeting problem or a math problem. Like there's something else inside that's making you reach for that credit card. And maybe that's on the face like better for your health than reaching for a bottle of alcohol or something else, but it's still like this inner addiction. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot more discussion nowadays of like, okay, there's a really big correlation between how you spend money, save money, whatever, and your mental health. And I think people, there's just a lot of nuance. Mm-hmm. Like I will watch Dave Ramsey clips almost as like some sort of self-punishment. And he treats everyone like an idiot. And some people maybe might respond to that. But I think the younger generations are realizing like, no, like I didn't grow up learning about money. Schools don't talk about money. Parents don't talk about money. Like I should not feel bad for not knowing how this works. And also, I think what a lot of young people are dealing with is our earth is changing rapidly and not for the better. And they're dealing with the feelings of like, I'm like, what is the world going to be like? And why should I live like scraping pennies together when I don't even know what kind of planet I'm going to be on in 50 years, mm-hmm. 60 years?
So that seems very depressing. Like this, I just threw this doom and gloom. It's very interesting, but it's more like living for now, which can get away from you. I remember, what was it, a couple years ago, it was like, don't invest, spend money on this trip. Like I'll never be 20 again traveling through Greece. And like, but there will always be more money. So I think that there's definitely a balance because it's not black or white, right? Sure. It's very gray. Money is so emotional. And I think you're right. That's what Dave Ramsey lacks, is the emotional part of it. He's just very black and white. It's right or wrong. And that's it. Whereas like you said, Gen Z, they're coming up and they're saying, well, no, like, how does this make me feel? Let me take into consideration my past experiences and then what is to come for the future. So I think that's really interesting. You also mentioned you were talking about your husband and the mental health, how he's a mental health professional and how finding your why and finding like a deeper mm-hmm. reason for wanting to pay off debt or whatever people's money goals are. What if someone is very stuck and they're very stuck on like a shallow, like I just want to do it so I don't have this payment anymore? Do you feel like they stay motivated with that? And if not, how do you recommend people find a deeper root for their reasoning behind their financial goals?
Yeah. When I worked with coaching clients before, what I always tell them is like, it's not like there are some people, maybe you and I are examples, where we don't need a reason to save money for retirement because we know that you're just going to need money mm-hmm. and you know how much you're going to need to have a good retirement. But for other people, it's imagining like, okay, well, think about your grandparents. Like what kind of life did they have in retirement? And was that good or bad? Like did that inspire you or did it make you sad? Like, you know, we all see the people that get to retire in their 60s and they get to travel and they get to go see their grandkids all the time and they get to be very flexible with their lives and they get to indulge in their hobbies and volunteer opportunities. And then we see people that are living on Social Security mm-hmm. and it is really sad. I saw one study that said they took people and they had them like age their photos in like this little software, and think about that person, like, okay, think about this 65-year-old picture of you, and what kind of retirement do you want her to have? Like, what kind of life do you want her to have? What do you want her to experience? And it those people tended to save more for the future because they could literally picture, okay, this is a reality.
Wow.
I think that's a big problem, is like, it's really hard for our brains to imagine a future self. That's why procrastinating is so popular, because tomorrow you is going to have focus and motivation and no distractions. And tomorrow you can tackle that thing you're avoiding. And so what I always tell people is like, okay, well, let's like imagine, like, what do you want that future version of you to be able to do? And I also talk to people like, okay, what is your, like, what's like a dream goal you have? And for some reason, some people that might be, you know what? My parents had a beach house, and every summer we spent 3 weeks at the beach house every year. And I want to be able to do that for my kids. Great. What a specific goal. What a good image to have. So that the next time you're tempted to maybe like break your budget or buy something else, you can think, okay, but there's that beach house and I really want that experience. Mm-hmm. So I think having like a specific personal concrete goal that's not just like, well, I guess I should buy a house at some point, or I guess I should save for retirement. Anything vague is just probably not going to cut it for you.
Yeah. Okay. So I love it whenever my podcast episodes, one thing I really try is to have action steps for every episode. So I feel like a good action step for anyone listening is to go on TikTok, pull up the aging filter, right? Look at yourself, do the aging filter, and I say that sarcastically, but no, like really do it, and then sit down and write out, what do I want my life to look like for this person? Like, how can I take care of her or him now? And what does that look like? And what are some goals? But I do want to ask you, since you gave these wonderful suggestions, Zena, what is one of your personal goals that you'd be willing to share that you have that is very specific that drives you to invest or save or manage your money differently?
I think for me, it's like a balance of being self-employed. It's like I can decide how much I want to work. And there's like a baseline of like, okay, well, I need to bring in this much money every month. But it's also a baseline of, okay, I want to have time to work out in the day. I want to have time to like see my friends and hang out on the weekends. Like, I don't want to be nose to the grindstone the way I was when I was like first building this career. So that is very important. But also, I really love to travel. And there were a few years like where my husband and I were saving for a down payment on a house where like we didn't really travel like internationally during that time. And then I had like some medical bills come up that were very expensive. So now that we're kind of out of that stage, it's like, we went to Japan this past May and that was incredible. And then it was like, okay, how do we make sure that every year, year and a half, 2 years, like we get to do like a big international trip? And it sounds very cliche, but it was just like this amazing reminder of like, oh yes, like there is so much of the world to see. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's like one of my big dreams right now. We haven't decided where we're trying to save for, but it's just like, okay, I want to make sure I have like money in the bank to do that whenever the opportunity comes.
And it keeps you motivated, right?
Yeah, I think it's like you got to find stuff in your day to day that keeps you motivated and excited and feeling happy. But it is also nice to have like a big goal of like, I want to do this. I want to do this. Like, I want to have this thing that I'm shooting for, but also still enjoying like, okay, well, I have like my movie theater membership. And so once a week, I know I go to the movies, like have a great time and things like that. So you're not only just shooting for like that medium-term goal or that long-term goal.
It's about aligning your goals, but also with your everyday life and saying, how can I spend money in a way that makes me happy, but not like overdo it one way or the other where I'm overspending or just only focus on saving and not enjoying my life. Finding that middle ground.
Yeah. And I think part of it is having some awareness about, when I spend money on this thing, how do I feel? And that's something like I have a huge sweet tooth. Like, I love desserts, cakes, cookies, like everything. And I do not keep a lot of that stuff in my house because I would just eat it. Like, I will eat a box of Oreos in a sitting. And sometimes, if there happens to be a box of Oreos, after a while, I'll start thinking, well, how do I feel eating this? Like, it's scratching an itch, but do I really feel happy? Like, is this making me feel any better? And I think you can have that awareness around money of like, okay, I went and I bought lunch today instead of bringing in from home, but how happy did that make me? Mm-hmm. Versus like, hey, I went out and I signed up for dance classes that I've always wanted to take, and now I'm really excited. Like, there's ways to spend money to fulfill you and improve your life, and there's ways to spend money that are just like, it's just kind of like junk food.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's a great analogy. Okay, Zena, for anyone that wants to get to know you better, maybe read some of your articles since you are a freelance writer, where can our listeners learn more about you?
Yeah, so they can visit my blog at consciouscoins.com. They can also follow me on Instagram at consciouscoinscoach. What a mouthful. On Facebook at consciouscoins. I have a TikTok, but have barely posted on it. And then for freelance writing, everything is available at zenakumach.com.
I love it. So at the end of every guest episode, I like to just ask you three questions to get to know you a little bit better. And for our listeners as well, don't think too much about them. The first one is, what is one thing you're looking forward to?
I am going to New Orleans in a couple of days.
Fine.
And I am very excited. It has been a very gray winter in Indiana, so I'm excited to get some sunshine and some tasty food there.
I love it. The second question is, what's one money mistake you've made that you would tell everybody to avoid?
I would tell everyone, like, just start investing as soon as possible, because I didn't start investing and I graduated still like in the Great Recession era. And sometimes I try not to do the math, but I could have made a lot of money if I had started investing when the market was like at rock bottom.
Yeah. That's my same thing. Like, that's my money mistake. I'm like, ugh. But now I think I probably overcompensate by overinvesting to try to make up. So that's also probably not the best thing, but I love it. Okay. The last question isn't a question at all. Just finish the sentence. My favorite thing I've ever spent money on is?
I want to say, this is going to sound really cliche, but any abroad travel experience I've ever had, like going to Japan, my husband and I still, like, probably a few times a week will be like, remember in Japan we did this? Remember in Japan we ate that? And it was like just the best thing ever. But I guess for a more specific answer, I will say my dogs.
I love it.
They were rescues and very affordable and have brought me like just immense happiness. So, and that was something I was very worried about, like how much pets cost, like when I was younger. And now I'm like, bring in all the animals. Like, they're just going to make your life so much better.
I could not agree more. In fact, I have my dog sitting right here by me, and he is not cheap. He had an unexpected vet visit last week, $205 later, but he brings me so much joy. Like, he's my little buddy. So I know your dogs are so lucky to have you. Well, Zena, thank you so much for joining us on the Inspired Budget Podcast. I'll link to all of your socials and websites down below.
Thanks, Allison.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you found it motivating or inspiring, would you do me a favor and actually share it with someone that you think would enjoy it as well? My goal is to get this podcast in as many people's ears, I guess, as possible. And even if you share it with just one person, that will help make it happen. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. Talk to you then.